No, you're not following what I'm saying.
Now, how does Jesus love you?
Remember, there are two Jesus. One's that the preachers, the false Christians, the false Christian ministers hold up. Yeah. That's one Jesus, which isn't the true Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's a masquerade, it's a charade.
You say so.
Listen, the Bible says that many will come in my name and lead many astray. It's representing themselves.
I think I'm talking to one of them now.
Well, I think I'm talking to one of them now, too. either both crazy or one of us is right.
I agree with you. And you say on page 9 of Be Still to Know, one of your pamphlets, quote, damn all the hellfire and damnation preachers.
Absolutely.
All right, then you've damned Jesus Christ, because no one ever preached more on hell than Jesus did.
No. Jesus,
The text says it, Roy.
I don't see him that way.
I don't see him
as a fundamentalist preacher, screaming and hollering and scaring the living daylights out of everybody.
Wasn't there something to be scared of?
No.
Look, if Jesus preached on hell,
I see him the simple innocence of the plain truth. It does when a person hears someone who is coming from the right place, saying things very simple, testifying to what is always known in his heart, so he can believe it.
But Jesus said,
"What?
I will say to you on that day, depart from me to everlasting fire."
I have never known you.
Right, you know the passage.
Sure.
Well, then, obviously, Christ preached on hell, and he was the hellfire and damnation preacher.
No, he wasn't.
You said, damn all the hellfire and damnation preachers.
Yes.
Does that include Christ?
No, it doesn't.
Because then it's not everybody. It's
only those false representatives of His Majesty.
Okay. I got a couple more questions from your books, and okay. I want to get them straight out.
You know, don't you recognize false Christianity? Is there such a thing as false Christianity?
Oh, sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I'm saying that the Foundation for Human Understanding utilizes Christian terminology.
Isn't that nice?
But denies the core of it, which is the Savior.
Well, now, let me say this carefully about the Foundation of Human Understanding. We don't call it the Foundation of Christian Understanding. We just call it the Foundation because we want it to be non-denominational. Because what we teach there is not the Bible. We let that person go and search the Scripture himself, and so it reveals itself to him privately. I don't believe any preacher should interpret Scriptures for us. I think we should read it with a viewpoint of really understanding what it says, so the Holy Spirit, which is within us, will reveal the meaning of the Word. And,
now, who
and
is the Holy
us.
Spirit, Roy?
Well, let me finish. The Foundation of Human Understanding only teaches this. We don't teach any doctrine. And we don't interpret Scriptures for people.
But you do all
Roy
the time.
Roy Masters is only speaking what Roy Masters sees and what Roy Masters believes. And if everyone wants to believe what Roy Masters says because they also see it, God bless them.
Yeah, but you do preach. You do teach.
I don't teach anything.
Sure you do.
No, it's an unlearning. What you don't see, Walter, is that that true salvation is an unlearning process. It's not a learning process. It's an undoing. It's an unraveling, like peeling the layers of an onion.
Only if the Bible is wrong.
I don't even know what you
say. I have to make a choice between the Bible and what you say. And that's why I'm interested in what you said.
Now, you have a choice between understanding and words. I choose understanding.
Well, let me go a step further. Maybe you can explain this for me, okay?
Yes.
Quote, do you realize that people praising God in church are really praising themselves?
Have you ever thought of that?
Bearing witness to the fact that church exists for them. This fact is a very closely guarded secret. By whom?
Well, nobody talks about it.
Well, who's guarding the secret?
Well, if you don't talk about it, you have a secret.
Do you mean when people are in church singing hymns of praise and worshiping the Lord that...
You just see how high people get when they go to church.
Do you really believe that this is a praising of themselves?
Do you know, there's a Praise the Lord group, and there are people who sing praises to the Lord, and in their mind, they think, they get so excited because they think in their own selves that if they didn't praise the Lord... the Lord wouldn't be Lord, and that the Lord is totally dependent on their praising Him.
Well, I'm not.
It wouldn't exist without them.
I'm not concerned with the aberration.
It's
concerned,
a sort of sickness.
I'm concerned with the fact that you can make a statement that really is offensive to Christians. Do you realize that people praising
to
God
those
in church,
Christians, Walter? Remember, to those Christians, not a true Christian, to those types of Christians.
But your definition of a true Christian is counter to the whole history of the church.
Would you agree that a Christian who goes to church and really gets high and makes and he praises the Lord and really is there thinking that everything exists for him and he is the Lord of that church? Wouldn't you say that was a very bad Christian?
That's not a Christian.
No, and I'm saying that's the kind of Christian I'm talking about.
Yeah, but
there are Christians
your idea
like that,
of
you know.
A Christian is quite different from the New Testament concept.
No, but there are Christians who go to church and feel holy, and as though the church and all the stained glass windows and the music was there for them to make them feel holy like God. It's an ego trip of the lowest magnitude.
Dr. Martin, though, isn't your understanding of that is then they would not be Christians at all,
right,
if they were just going through the motions.
That's exactly right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I think...
But you're calling them Christians.
Well, I know, but they call themselves Christians, you see, and I don't think they are.
Well, I think that's confusing.
Well, Christians who call themselves Christians, who go to church and do these strange little ego trips and get high on music and stained glass windows and verses and chapters and miss the whole point entirely, are Christians. Most Christians are like that, if you want to know the truth, but they are not Christians.
All right, what you say here, then, I agree with. They're church-directed programs. They're church-directed programs. They act like Christians, repeating the nice words of the Savior. They're caught up in those ideas which produce a religious chatter and an illusion of salvation perpetuated by ritual and post-hypnotically reinforced what the head has said. Okay? Now, they know about the Son, but their growing guilt makes them afraid of meeting Him in person. Now, what I understand what you're saying here, but in the page 13 of Hypno-Christianity, you make this statement, which is extremely disturbing. Any idea you get caught up in, whether it is Jesus Christ or, forgive me, spaghetti and meatballs,
right,
is an idea, a hypnotic fixation that can introduce a new guilt at the very moment it takes your old guilt away.
Right.
Now, my question is, any idea you get caught up in, whether it
any
is
idea.
Jesus Christ, okay?
Right.
This can introduce a new guilt at the very moment takes your old guilt away. A hypnotic fixation because I believe in the Lord Jesus?
No, because there are two kinds of beliefs. One, the hypnotic belief, which springs out of the falling man.
That's your theory.
Well, I'm saying that human beings have an emotional, mental fixation to words and emotionally charged words, which programs their subconscious mind, and that is the sin state they live in all their life, conforming or rebelling against ideas induced in that fashion. However, now, if a person is caught up with ideas and concepts which come from language, emotionally charged language, it then becomes hypnotic and not conducive to true salvation.
That's theoretical.
No, that's actual fact.
Yeah. Your whole concept is that what we are seeing around us is something we've been hypnotized into. The true reality is beyond this. That's the whole idea.
There is a wall. If you close your eyes, you find yourself in the midst of an imagination world like Alice in Wonderland.
That's
exactly what we're dealing with. And the only way a person thinks, and the only one, if you were, for example, if you were born in Borneo, you would grow up to be you. Professor Martin would no longer be Professor Martin. You'd probably be the chief witch doctor. you probably would if you were born in Borneo
as a
cannibal.
If you sent me to hell already, then obviously I can't be offended if you call me a witch doctor.
No, follow the point that I'm making. Follow the point that I'm making, that we are molded by culture. And the horror of what society has done to us makes the soul, this ego, afraid to face reality, and it buries itself in concepts and ideas and seeks newer ones to escape from truth in, because old ones cease to be sufficient.
Well, I'll tell you, if just praising God is going to get you into a hypnotic state, I think we should pray for that.
It can very well do, and it won't be the God... Walter, it can very well... If you've ever been to one of my seminars where I hypnotize people to show how easily people's minds are influenced... In my next seminar, I'm going to invite you, and I'm going to take some people from the stage, and I'm going to make Christians out of them right there and then, and you're going to see what asses they really are.
In other words, what you're going to do is...
I'm going to show you they'll act like Christians, and they'll be praising the Lord to everyone and passing tracts around, and they'll be totally hypnotized.
But that doesn't make you a Christian.
No, I'm trying to tell you that there's so many Christians in this world are caught up in this terrible trap, thinking they're going to heaven, thinking they're being saved by Christ, and they've been tricked by the devil.
Why, if they believe the gospel, why could they be tricked by the devil if they trusted Christ?
Because they have trusted knowledge.
No,
they have
the Bible.
They're still involved with language, and the language is from the mouth of the serpent.
Well, look, language
it's
to you...
It's the sting of the serpent.
Language to you is totally destructive, but Christ used language to give us salvation.
The misuse of language. I am trying, desperately, to use language to awaken you to something you don't want to see.
No, I know what I'm seeing because I know the gospel.
You are speaking, you're not seeing.
No, yes I am.
You think you're seeing.
No, you're judging me.
That's interesting.
You're judging me. You're telling me what I think.
Have you... Listen...
Which is quite different
knowing. Walter, you've put some pretty bad pamphlets out about me.
No. The only thing that's ever
been published...
Aren't you judging me? The only thing that was ever put out by Christian Research Institute was...
Are you telling everybody I'm a cult and all the rest of it?
I said on the air that I think the Foundation for Human Understanding is cultic.
Aren't you judging me?
And I think that you are a cultist.
Aren't you judging me?
No, I'm going on the basis of factual data.
I mean, can't a person discern what is before him without being accused of judgment?
No, I don't judge you. I simply point out that your whole format is very cult.
Whose authority do you speak?
The authority of the research in the world of the cults.
Only your authority.
No, I think you would find that anybody who studies the Foundation for Human Understanding would come up with the same conclusion if they were an expert in comparative religions.
I probably have about 2 million people who would say otherwise.
Well,
not anyone.
No.
I mean, anyone who believes in you would come up with the same ideas because they caught up with Walter Martin.
Well, I think what we have to do is put both you and I and our teachings to the test of Scripture. And when we do, it is obvious that yours are the opposite of Christianity and mine are consistently Christian. I think we ought to go to the lines because there are people trying to get to us.
Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question for Roy Masters.
Hello.
Hi. Through this discussion this evening, you keep coming back to your understanding as God has shown you understanding. And to my mind, everything God teaches you is in keeping with what is in the Scriptures. And in Proverbs 3, it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
Well, no. Your own understanding in that text is the intellectualization of knowledge.
How do you know that?
That's what it means.
How do you know
that? Because your own understanding is deceitful.
Now, I want you to tell us, the audience and myself, how you know what that passage of Scripture means.
How do I know?
Yeah.
The same answer as I always give you.
Trust in the Lord. Listen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Let me ask you a question. Lean not to
thine own understanding.
Right. I don't lean to my own understanding. The understanding that I'm referring to is not thine own understanding, which is prideful. Which is born of pride. The understanding I'm speaking about is revelation as revealed in the heart through the seeking soul.
How do you know it's revealed? How do you know?
How do you know? Because you know is the ultimate.
Well, we're back to the old circular argument. I know it's true because I know it's true.
Because I realize it is so.
But you think you realize it.
Did you know, Walter, do you know that the cause of mental illness and the cause of all suffering and the cause of all conflict and guilt and tragedy is because people don't listen to the revelation of their own mind?
No, to
they
the
doubt. They doubt what is revealed in the secret place of their mind. The world is always trying to snatch that away from you.
Roy, that's what you believe and that's what you teach, but that is not consistent with the Bible.
Well,
it's as simple as that.
When people find that they can't get satisfaction from your way of looking at it, they'll come to mind.
Well, that being the case, Christianity will have failed and Roy Masters will have succeeded.
No, if Roy Masters succeeded, then Christianity will have triumphed.
Imagine Augustine, Aquinas, Scotus, Irenaeus, Martin Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, Knox. Everybody has been swept aside and we are at the altar of Roy Masters' understanding.
Not so.
That's where you got us.
I say that you don't understand any of those men. That you can't even read the words, you can't even understand the words of the Bible when I read them to you.
I not only understood them, I explained
them. You changed them, so they didn't say what they said.
No, I simply pointed out to you that you were using an old translation. you just keep repeating.
This is the translation that came down to us.
Let's not get back
to 19th century.
We've been there for. No, it hasn't. The King James Bible is only 300 years old.
I tell you what, bring me every translation, and I'll show you that it says the same thing.
No, you won't.
I'm sorry, it says exactly
well,
the
we'll,
same.
We'll be glad to supply you with the photocopies. Okay. Have you got any more questions?
All right. I think we should wrap up our discussion. We've been talking for the past 2 hours with Roy Masters from the Foundation of Human Understanding and with Professor Walter Martin, whose program Roy Masters is appearing on. Roy, we'd like to thank you for stopping by.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
We had quite a lively discussion, and I don't think I've seen any two men that could disagree more.
I'd like to say one thing before I leave. Can I say one more thing? I'll just take...
One more.
One more.
Speak.
1 minute.
Speak.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God.
And I would counter that by simply saying that you have...
I just want to leave you that with the last thought, so no, you could lose a lot of sleep tonight thinking about it.
I lose no sleep on it whatsoever. It says whoever is born of God does not practice sin. That's what the Greek text says.
Well,
you can't read the text. I do. I'm telling you what it says, and I'm telling you that the King James Bible is not accurate on that page.
Simple as that. The King James Bible is not accurate.
No, it is not.
All right.
Not on that page. There are other places not accurate either. But the point remains
you're saying
the translation is not accurate.
Exactly.
The Bible is accurate.
The text itself
but
is accurate.
How do you know which one is accurate?
Because you go back to the earliest manuscripts. Don't you know that?
But how do you know the translator is right?
Well, you go back to the earliest manuscript and you check it with the Greek text and the Hebrew text.
I think you'll find, Walter Martin, that every Bible says exactly the same.
Would you believe Roy Masters that I can show you three or four?
Well, then do me a favor. Don't commit sin. Don't practice it. And I'll be happy.
I don't practice it. and I'll be happy. I'll be happy if Roy Masters will throw himself at the foot of the cross and cry out to Jesus Christ for salvation. Because you don't think you're a sinner, but the Scripture says you are. You've got to face him someday. It's because I love you, and for Christ's sake, I tell you the truth, even though you don't believe it.
Walter Martin, for Christ's sake, shut up.
I hardly think that that is an apropos conclusion to our dialogue. But at any rate, we're glad that you're on the program, that we had the opportunity to talk with you. And we are planning to do a little pamphlet on the Foundation for Human Understanding, and we'll certainly send you the copy so that you can correct any translations that are incorrect or any points that are not accurate. We're glad Roy Masters has been with us, and we're happy to have had this opportunity for 2 hours of dialogue and to communicate the differences that exist between historic Christianity and the Foundation for Human Understanding.